from the trunk. And they threw him over Niagara Falls. Did you hear about that? Maybe you saw the movie. And in a few minutes, he is out. Hey, listen, if I'm going to be chained, I don't want to be inside a trunk. But if I've got to get out of chain in a trunk, I don't want it to be thrown over Niagara Falls. But people wanted to see how I did it. And so they built a glass cage, and so they could put on the stage. And they'd drop him in this glass cage, and they'd watch while he worked his hands and all. And some people thought he did it by demon power. And that could be. They just couldn't believe he could do this. But here were people watching, but he was not feeling well. And what happened when he was in this tank, he had ruptured appendix. And he couldn't quite do his act. And he died. Houdini died. That doesn't sound too swift. Yes, did you have a comment?
He died because he was one of the strongest magicians, and these teenage boys came and asked him because he could withstand anybody's punch in the stomach, and he didn't.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that part. But he did have ruptured appendix. He didn't know that.
That's how he got him, because he wasn't ready for the punches.
Well, you know, there's always some guy that knows a little more about the story. Thank you, pal. That's pretty good. Let's give him a hand. Hey, right on. Hey, I've forgotten about that punch in the stomach. That was a part of it. But see, he was playing with death, wasn't he? Playing with death. Oh, you can't believe what some people do. I think the worst of all was down in Oregon. This man down in Oregon was in I don't know how it came about, but he saw this little pet, a little lion. It was a cub, like a cat has kittens. This was a kitten, but it was not a cat kitten, it was a lion kitten. It looked so cute, little, bigger than the kitten, but he bought this and took it home. And it grew and got bigger and bigger. Did you ever hear a lion roar? Have you ever been in the zoo? Talk about a set of vocal cords. When I went to Northwest College, and Jerry Clifton was there, about 20 blocks away was Woodland Park. I come from the Sticks of Idaho, a town about the size of Haines. And one night I said, "What in the world is that?" They said, "Well, that's the lion over at the zoo." Wow, it shook things when it cut loose. I sometimes, when I'm preaching, wish I had a set of vocal cords like that. You know, I'd really bring them awake on the back row. The vocal cords like that. But, you know, this lion got bigger and bigger, and he would pet this lion. Can you imagine when this lion started to purr? You've jumped a cat and had a purr, you know how it is. Boy, it really sounded like a motor running in the basement or something, you know, a diesel motor. When it got loose. But, you know, the police were always warning and said, "You're going to get in trouble." He had a silver chain made for that lion. You know, it stood almost as tall as he did. Great big male lion with great big mane, beautiful thing. But he could take that walking. He said, "You know, that's going to get in trouble. That's going to get you in trouble." And the neighbors always complained. How would you like to live next door to somebody that had a pet lion that would roar every once in a while and vibrate your house? But one of the worst things, he loved to take that in his car on the highway. And you can imagine going down the road, and you look in the car next to you, and you say, "Lion," and you swerve. He said, you know, several times he almost caused people to have accidents. But he thought this was smart stuff. His pet had grown up, but he said, "It's just a pet, and it minds, and I've got control." And they don't know exactly what happened. It's a sad story. But it was a beautiful spring day, and he went over to the coast and was driving down the Oregon coast. You know, always took his pet lion in the back seat. They don't know exactly what happened, but they think they know. He pulled into one of these places, turnouts, where you can look out across the beautiful Pacific Ocean, and they think it was warm, and he went to sleep with his hand over the back seat. And you know how a dog or a cat kisses and shows affection by licking. They think that this pet lion started to lick the back of his hand, and as he licked the back of his hand, their tongue is rough like sandpaper, you know. And that he sensed the blood, the warm blood, and the jungle instinct came over him. They think that's what happened. When they found the man, all that was left in the car beside the lion was bloody bones. His pet had destroyed him. And you know, that's the way sin is. The Bible says, Satan comes like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's why sin is such a dangerous thing. We think of one out of eight boys or girls that just taste beer. You know, well, just taste it. It won't hurt you. Just one taste won't hurt you. I've never in my life tasted beer. I don't know what it tastes like. I know what it smells like. But see, I could be an alcoholic and not know it. But see, I learned about sin when I was a little boy, and I followed that and served God, and God blessed me. But there are a lot of people who didn't learn that. See, their life had been like following a lying compass. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But Jesus came and died on the cross to save us from sin, and to save us from the consequence of sin, and then save us from the judgment day, the terrors of the judgment day, and then to save us from the fires of hell. I'm glad Jesus came. And when I was 5 years of age, is there anyone here that's five? Anyone that happened to be 5 years of age? Anyone in the church? Anyone that's six? Anyone that's six? Anyone, do we have a five-year-old?
Six.
Would you stand, how old are you? Five. Ah. Five, what's your first name?
Crystal.
Crystal. Let's hear it for Crystal. The reason I wanted Crystal to stand is because when I was five, I got saved. And I like to see how big boys and girls are, you know, how big I was when I got saved. When I was your age, I got saved. Marvelously saved. Because somebody explained it to me. The pastor on Sunday morning. You know what I did, Crystal? I raised my hand when the pastor gave an altar call. I came and I knelt right in front of the pulpit. And Pastor Coleman, I told about it the other night. Pastor Coleman put his hand on my head and said, Lenny, thank Jesus for the cross. Say it with your mouth. Say it out loud. Say, thank you for the cross. Did you know to be saved from sin you have to pray? And you have to accept Jesus? You can come to Sunday school and learn about Jesus and not be saved. You can come to church all the time and not be saved. You have to accept Jesus. Let me explain it. You know, the Bible says that life is in God's Son. Whosoever hath the Son hath life, and whosoever shall not see life, who hath not the Son shall not see life, the wrath of God abideth on him. Now I have a Bible. I not only have a lying compass in this pocket, but I have a true compass. This is a spiritual compass. And this shows us the way to heaven. Now, let me ask you. Oh, I don't think anyone in Haines is starving to death. If I knew anyone that's starving to death, I'd get some food and take it to them, wouldn't you? If you know anyone that's starving to death, let us know. I'll tell you one thing. We've not been starving to death at Pastor Vi's house, have we? Because you folks have brought in food, and I tell you, we've been gaining weight, if anything. But let's imagine you're starving to death. There are boys and girls in Ethiopia that are starving to death. 500,000 babies starved to death in Peru last year. I mean, they died because they didn't have enough food. It's hard to imagine. But how many have an imagination? How many boys and girls have an imagination? Okay. All right, use your imagination. You're starving to death. Got it? You haven't eaten for 3 days, and you're hungry, and you're going to die. You're just skin and bones. And I come along, and I say, well, I tell you what, God's blessed me. I've got some money. Boy, do I have money. I'm not broke. Wow, I've got a $50 bill. The only one I have, last one on my clip, but I got a $50 bill. Well, that'll buy a few. Even in Alaska, that'll buy a sack of groceries, wouldn't it? Now, you're starving to death, remember? You haven't eaten for 3 days. Are you ever hungry? You're almost too weak to get to the store if I give you the $50 bill. But what if I would say, all right, you're starving. Here's a $50 bill. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. No strings attached. Would you take it? Would you take it? As a free gift. Would you take it? Would you take it? Everybody here would take it. But what if I said, now, There is one condition. There is one string attached. I'll give you the $50 bill, but it's in the Bible. I'm going to put it in the Bible right there. You can still see it. in the Bible, like a bookmark. Now, I'll give you the $50 bill, but I'll also give you the Bible. I'm going to give you the Bible, and the $50 bill is in the Bible. The Bible is free. You have to accept the Bible to get the $50 bill. You get both of them, but you can't have one without the other. Would you then accept the Bible as a free gift? Would you accept the Bible as a free gift? Remember, you're starving to death. But I'm going to give you the $50 bill and the Bible. Would you accept the Bible to get the $50 bill? Well, sure you would, see? But see, that's the way salvation is. A lot of people talk about religion, but it's like a lying compass. They don't tell you you have to accept Jesus. See, that's the way it is. Salvation and the eternal life. No one wants to go to hell. The Bible says that eternal life is in Jesus. And as the $50 bill is in the Bible, so salvation and everlasting life is in Jesus. He that hath Jesus hath everlasting life. And he that does not have Jesus does not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Because God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross to save us from our sin. That's why, boys and girls, every one of you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Years ago, I wrote a little song for boys and girls, for the little boys and girls, like those that were 4 and 5. My wife and I used to do boys and girls revivals. And I wrote a simple song to a simple tune you all know that illustrates this. It was so simple. It was like this. Jesus died up on the cross, on the cross, on the cross. Jesus died up on the cross to save me from my sin. Now I open my heart's door, my heart's door, my heart's door. Now I open my heart door and let the Savior in. See, you have to accept Jesus. You just aren't automatically saved. Last night I told the story about this man who was 28 years of age, raised in church, but he never gave his heart to Jesus. And if you come to church year after year and you never accept Jesus as your Savior, you'll still be lost. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we think about this lying compass and how dangerous it is. But it's not as dangerous as living in Haines, Alaska, and never giving our heart to Jesus and dying and going out into eternity. When I was 5, I heard about heaven. I heard about hell. And I decided I wanted to be saved from sin and saved from hell. And that day, you saved me. You gave me a vision of the cross that took my sin away. And I've been serving you ever since. Thank you for every boy here and every girl. And Lord, I don't know how many have given their heart to you. But I pray that every one of them will give their heart to you. Don't let one of them be lost. Don't let one of them go to hell. Oh God, may every one of them make heaven their home. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I want to know if there are some of you boys and girls that haven't given your heart to Jesus and you would like to do it tonight. One thing you have to do is to accept Jesus. Would you just raise your hand and say, I want to give my heart to Jesus right now. I want to publicly confess him. There's one, there's two, there's three. Are there others? You say, yes, I want to give my heart to Jesus tonight. There's four. Is there another? Quickly, quickly, because we're going to pray for you boys and girls. There's 5, 6, and 7. Hallelujah. Are there others? You say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Now, some of you gave your heart to Jesus last year when I was here, and some of you given your heart to Jesus at home or in Sunday school. We don't have a lot of time because the bus is going to be waiting for us, but we have time to say the sinner's prayer. I want every one of you that raised your hand to come quickly and kneel at this altar. I'll move this plant, and we want you to kneel, and then I want one of the church workers to come quickly and kneel by each one. There's four. Is there another one? Did somebody else raise your hand? Did you raise your hand? Is there another one that came to raise your hand? Now, there's five. I thought there were five, maybe six. Was there another one? You want to come? Anyone? An adult could come. Any of you adults, you haven't given your heart to Jesus. Anyone here that would like to come? Hallelujah. Why did Jesus come? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Hallelujah. Now, I want the other boys and girls to come and kneel around. You others have given your heart to Jesus, is that right? You've given your heart to Jesus? That's great when you know you've given your heart to Jesus and you know so totally that you don't answer. But I want you to come and kneel with these others. Hallelujah. And would some of you adults come? Hallelujah. We're going to say the sinner's prayer. Glory to God. And some of you adults just come and pray with us and create the power. One thing you have to do, boys and girls, to be saved, you have to pray. And I'm going to pray and I want you to pray after me. Will you pray after me and say what I say? All right, Father,
I come to you
in Jesus' name. I want to be saved from sin and the fires of hell.
I believe Jesus is the Son of God,
born of the Virgin Mary.
By the Holy Spirit.
That he lived a sinless life.
Then died on the cross.
And shed his blood.
For my sin.
Jesus.
I believe all this.
About you.
Save me, Jesus.
Save me now.
Forgive me of every sin.
From the time I was a tiny child.
Until now.
I'm sorry for my sin.
I repent of my sin.
Forgive me of my sin.
Make me as clean.
As the blood of Jesus Christ,
can make my heart.
I accept you as my Savior.
I give you my heart.
I choose between heaven and hell.
I
want to go to heaven when I die.
I never want to lose my soul
in a devil's hell.
Save me, Jesus.
Save me now.
I choose to be a Christian.
I'll serve you all the days of my life.
And I'll tell others that I'm a Christian.
I'll never be ashamed.
Save me, Jesus.
Save me now.
I believe.
And I receive.
The free gift.
Of salvation.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now I want you to stand and look at me.
There's something that is very important to be a Christian, and that is to be a faithful witness or testimony. This is something I've asked boys and girls to do for years. Do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible?
Yeah.
Each of, I want you to write, what today is today the 5th? April the 5th, 1989, at Haynes Assembly of God, I gave my heart to Jesus. You can have somebody help you with that, and you may not have time, you won't have time to do it tonight. But I want you to write that or a testimony. I gave my heart to Jesus. And the date is important. And then I want you to get at least three people to sign it, people that witnessed it here tonight. See, you need to be baptized in water, even though you were dedicated or baptized as a tiny child. The Bible says, he that believeth is baptized. And this is very important. you get at least three people, you can get more to sign it. And that'll always be a tie of when you gave your heart to Jesus. I've done this for years and years and years. I just got back from Singapore. 24 years ago I was in Singapore. Do you know the people came, showed me their Bible, where I'd signed it 24 years ago. Some of them were preachers and teachers, but some of them were children 24 years ago when I signed their Bible. Will you do that? Will you put your name? This is not my testimony, this little note I wrote, but just like that on a page, got it? I gave my heart to Jesus and the date and tell it, and then get at least three people, and that will be an anchor. Shall we thank God? Do you believe God took away your sin? Do you believe?
Yeah.
The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Listen, when I was a boy, I did this, and it's still good today. God marked my heart. God marked my heart. Shall we thank God? Will you just say, thank you, Jesus? Pray after me. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For forgiving me
of my sin.
I believe my sins are God.
I believe my sins are God.
I believe you'll keep your word.
I believe you'll keep your word.
And forgive me of all my sin.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Thank you for it.
Thank you for it.
I thank you with all of my heart.
I thank you with all my heart.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn around and look at the congregation. Now, I want you men and ladies to shake hands with these six. Where's the five? The five. Which five? And I want you to just shake their hand and congratulate and say, I think that's the greatest thing you could have done, and encourage them. They have to get on the bus here real quick, so they may not even have time to sign Bible. But before they go, you just come around and encourage them. Will you do that? Come and say, hey, that's a great decision. I think that's the greatest decision boys, girls can make. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We believe that Jesus Christ is able to save boys and girls. And encourage these boys and girls who already gave their heart to Jesus. And let them know you appreciate that.
I was 10 when I was saved. God bless you. You did a good thing.
Hallelujah. It excites me to see boys and girls give their heart to Jesus. I go back to Northwest College and there are students that got saved in boys and girls camps and then revive them like this.
16
boys
here.
When I was here? Hallelujah. Oh, that's great. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me so great salvation, so rich and free. I believe Jesus saves, and His blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and His blood washes whiter than snow. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God.
God bless you. Congratulations.
Hey,
it's good to be a Christian.
How you doing?
I decided a long time. That's the greatest decision. I want to see you boys in heaven. Don't you goof off and miss it.
Okay, you girls, go get your coats on and get on the bus.
Okay.
You kids, go get on the bus.
Glory to God, glory to God. I believe Jesus saved, and His blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saved, and His blood washes whiter than snow.
I believe Jesus saved, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saved, and his blood washes whiter than snow. Now, one thing we always need is workers. There's never enough workers. We need workers. And you can be sure that Cluck Juan needs workers. We need missionette workers and scout workers. We need Sunday school teachers. We need singers, workers. And out at Brother Jerry's church, you need workers, right? You got too many workers out there? No, no. Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of harvest, that he'll send laborers into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We also need an increase of faithful Christians that are just as faithful. Be as faithful as the day is long. Now I'd like us to sing one song, page 200, Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sin. And worship God a little bit. Be praying for these boys and girls in the Sunday school and outreach. Your greatest mission thrust in this church is in the boys and girls. Right now, that's your greatest mission thrust. That's what this church is doing most effectively. And as a result, you have taproots going right in to a number of homes that are mission fields. They need God. But aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad that you gave your heart to Jesus? Let's just rejoice in the Lord a minute to believe God for our revival here. Page 200, Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sin. Marvelous grace of thy loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, point to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is great, blend with it. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? 73, there's power in the blood. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's power in the blood to save boys and girls that come? I believe in what just happened here. I believe with all of my heart. I often tell the story of going to Northwest College, where I preached spiritual emphasis so many times over the years. They tell me more times than anyone else in the history of the school. And as I got on the campus, a young lady saw me and started running, called Brother Crowder, and a group of about 30 students came. And they gathered around, and they were so excited and so enthusiastic. And the girl opened her Bible and said, "Oh, Brother Crowder, I have something." She opened the Bible, and in the front of it, it said, "I gave my heart to Jesus Christ at the boys and girls camp at Silver Mountain in Idaho." And it had the date, a boys and girls camp. Now she's at college. One of the boys said, "Oh, I have something like that." Another one said that. And not all of them, but most of those, had been saved someplace in a revival meeting or a youth camp or boys and girls camp. And I felt pretty good about that. I thought, well, hey, that's good. And I went to my motel, and I was feeling maybe smug and proud about it. And I took a nap. I went to bed and took a nap, which back in those days, this is a number of years ago, I usually didn't take a nap in the day. And I had a nightmare. I had a terrible nightmare. And Nellie Blue and my four daughters were in heaven. And this same group gathered around them. "Oh, Sister Crowder, it's good to see you. Isn't heaven beautiful? Isn't heaven wonderful? Oh, we've seen Jesus. Isn't Jesus wonderful?" And they were shouting, and they were with that same enthusiasm. They said, "Where's Brother Crowder? We haven't seen him." And my wife hung her head. And I saw it as clearly.